Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. We'll be back in the seat. Just a couple days. Matt Smith, Matt with one T, filling in. Thank you very much. Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Well, good morning, Michael. Welcome back. I'm glad to see you alive and well.
Alive and well. Fresh off watching UConn last night. A dynasty, Michael Malone.
Yes.
UConn dynasty.
Dynasty.
Yeah. Two in a row for the Huskies. Dominant fashion. They rolled through the tournament with the largest point differential of any team in NCAA championship winning history.
Yeah, they dominated. That game wasn't even close. It just drove me. Hey, first off, I've got Mace is on my list. He wrote a hit piece on me. Then I went head to head with him.
Has he? No.
Even though, you know, I don't like PFF, but I'll use them when they're into my benefit. You realize that, right? When they benefit what I think,
sure,
then they're okay with me.
You're very selective that way.
Right. So, you know, they put a piece out the other day that said of the 45 sacks given up, the offensive line was responsible here in Denver for 15 of the 45. So 30 of them went somewhere else. Was basically supports what I was saying until all the rusties, Mace included, got all after me. So there's that. Then we go head-to-head yesterday in the matchup. I've got the lead for the fan pick'em pool.
Oh, that's right.
I had Purdue, and he had UConn, and
of course Purdue didn't
even show up. Edie was the
only one that showed up.
Edie was awful in the second. In the second half, he was awful.
Because they were daring anybody else to beat him. No,
Edie couldn't make a shot. They just muscled him up with what's-his-head. Who's the tall guy from UConn? Donovan Crittenden or something like that.
Klingon.
Yeah, he was clinging all over Edie, and yeah, drove me crazy. Anyhow, so It's already a tough day right now.
Well, congratulations to Andrew Mason as he won the fan staff.
No, we don't congratulate Andrew.
Andy, wow. No one's ever called him Andy.
Andy.
He finished first. Jake Shapiro, high up in his balloon, finished second. Mark Schlereth finished third.
I got usurped by two.
I finished dead last.
Yeah, you were all.
I'm going to be relegated down to some minor league level.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Bye finished third to last. So the two best basketball minds here on the fan finished in the bottom three. Further proof.
Two best basketball. How do you all of a sudden anointing yourself basketball the best basketball mind?
Further proof
that
the more you know about college basketball, the worse you do in the bracket challenge. It's a proven scientific fact, as evidenced by the fact that you, Jake, and Mace ran 1-2-3.
And that is a scientific fact.
I just don't know how you put yourself in as one of the best offensive minds.
Basketball minds.
Yeah, basketball minds. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Rockies win. Based on what the Vegas odds makers are telling us, we should savor every Rockies win that comes our way, because according to most leading Vegas gambling sites, most of the gambling sites out there, the Rockies have the best or worst odds of finishing with the worst record in baseball.
Well, they got it last night. I ended up flipping over. I was so disgusted with Purdue and their lack of offensive production that I flipped over and watched the Rockies actually produce offensively.
They did.
They've heard. They don't like it.
Took Bud's team a couple weeks, but they heard.
Yeah, they heard. Just had to get adjusted after spring training. That's the thing.
So, yeah, the odds to be the MLB's worst team in 2024, the Rockies have the worst odds, meaning...
Right.
you have to put up more money to win money,
right?
To bet on the Rockies or whomever you are betting on to be the worst team in baseball, just ahead of the White Sox, A's, Nationals, and Marlins. Actually, it's the Rockies, White Sox, and A's that are all kind of clumped together. But the Rockies get a win. UConn gets a win. Two in a row. In my humble opinion, this is the greatest two-year run of any team in college basketball history.
Really?
Yes. First of all, it doesn't happen that often. You got to go back to, 06-07.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan's Florida teams. Those teams had what? Was it Noah and Al Horford, I believe?
Yeah.
Or a couple guys on that team. Anyway, that was the last team to go back-to-back. And then before that, it was Bobby Hurley, brother of Dan Hurley, the UConn coach, Bobby Hurley, Duke Blue Devils, who went back-to-back. But considering the times we live in, where you're basically coming back with an entirely different, you know, nucleus, different team every year.
Yeah.
For them to be able to lose what they lost last year, come in with new guys, add to it, win another championship, and actually be more dominating with this team than last year's team was, yeah, to me, best two-year run I've ever seen.
Do you think the game was boring last night?
Good question. Was the game boring? Yes, the game was boring. But if you enjoy the idea of watching greatness,
right,
and watching a team that is doing something historical, and you are able to watch it through those lens, then yeah, I was fine with it.
I get so, well, of course, you know, I'm rooting for Purdue because I want to win. I like to win.
I want to win.
But like the lack of, how do you have a 7'4" dude on your team and you can't get a rebound? How many second chance opportunities did Connecticut get? I mean, it just was frustrating. It was frustrating. It was a frustrating game to watch.
I want to win!
Anyhow.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, two in a row is not a dynasty. That's two in a row in college basketball a dynasty?
I mean, I think it's so different because of transfer portal and guys one and done and all that kind of stuff. It is hard to create that type of consistency and then to have the dominant run that you did. Maybe not a dynasty, but most dominant 2 years. What do you think?
Yeah.
But they're always good. That's little stores, Connecticut.
Right.
Just dominate the college basketball landscape. It's crazy.
And UConn's been doing it for a long time with different coaches. So, no, you're right. So, Caveman Evans' logic is if I lose, then the brackets. If I lose, then brackets no good. Yes. Because I know enough about college basketball, I picked what should have happened. But that's not the way the tournament works.
No.
Which is beautiful.
It's the smart people that get into the finals.
That's right, the smart people.
Just
sure.
The smart people.
Sure. Up next, why in the world do the Utah Jazz, of all people, have Michael Malone's number? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I think I'm going to call him that next time I see him. See what the reaction is.
It's a good idea.
You know, I think that's the way to go.
It's a really good idea.
Really good idea. Good to be back with all of you. Took a couple days off. Everything good. So
I know it's not. I know it's not just me. But is it just me on a Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to go out and beat up some space nerds yesterday? Dude, like, for the love of, oh my God, it's the wedding ring. It's the wedding ring. Oh, do you see it? Lord have mercy.
What started out is for me like interesting. Like, okay, all right, I get it. This is something that, you know, doesn't happen too often. It's kind of cool. But geez, by the time they switched to like the fifth city that was on the path of totality, I was like, okay. And you're right about the space nerds. Boy, this was their Super Bowl.
Oh, Space Boy.
This was their Super Bowl.
Come on, Astro.
Space Boy.
Gosh.
Space Boy was either like so over the top excited about this.
Right.
Or was just so, well, let me tell you. Nobodies who don't know anything. Let me tell you what's going on here.
Right.
So they were either like super, super geeked out or super, super snooty.
Yeah.
Space Boy.
Space. Make George Jetson's day. Lord have mercy. What was the guy's name? DeGrasse or something? That guy?
Neil deGrasse,
you know? Spaceman.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure he was just lecturing people yesterday.
Oof. There are parts of it that are cool. Like my daughter is in Syracuse and it went right through Syracuse. And right. So she was kind of videotaping the whole thing for us live. Mm-hmm. And it was cool to see literally it go from bright daylight to like so dark that like all the building lights that are accustomed to just automatically coming on.
Uh-huh.
We're all coming on. And for about 3 minutes, it looked like it had gone nighttime. And then 2 minutes later, the sun's out nice and bright. That part was cool. But after the first couple times, okay, cool. But if you stuck with it, it was like, okay, by the time I got to Houghton, Maine, I'm like, okay, I'm out.
Right. Well, you could see why the Mayans freaked out, you know, when stuff like that happened, right? All of a sudden, the middle of the day became dark.
Both the Nuggets and Avalanche in action tonight.
Oh, good.
The Nuggets. By the way, just a quick, is it just me? I think it's really cool, the nod that the NBA gives to college basketball every year. They don't schedule games on Monday night, title night.
Yeah.
NBA takes the night off. Let's college have the spotlight.
Let me tell you who wouldn't do that. The NFL would not do that. Just be like, I'm surprised they don't do something big on that night. Yes, just be like, hey, we're moving the draft. We're moving the draft to the night that college basketball crowns its champion. Right.
Why? Because we. Why? Because we can.
Because we can.
We are all powerful. Thanos has nothing on us.
Yeah. No, it is good. Good for them.
So the Nuggets in Utah, which I guess we chalk up as a loss. Check this out. The Nuggets are 1-14 during Michael Malone's tenure in Salt Lake City.
What was it? 1-14?
1-14.
In Salt Lake?
His record in Salt Lake. 1-14. He had a funny answer as to why. He said, quote, I think it's jet lag. It's a really long flight.
Yeah.
And we don't really acclimate to the altitude very well.
Okay. All right. What is it?
Because Utah's had good teams, but not that great.
I wonder if there's, like, yeah. I just wonder about when they play there. Well, they had that, what was Donovan Mitchell for a while, right? Was really good for them until he got moved. Wasn't that the guy that was great?
Yep.
Yeah, that 1-14, though, is surprising to me. Shocking.
But it's a big back-to-back, but before anybody gets upset about the schedule maker, Minnesota, who the Nuggets are neck and neck with in the standings, they play tonight as well. Minnesota's at home with an equally bad team in Washington. Then they jump on a plane and come out here to play tomorrow night.
Okay.
Nuggets in Utah, playing a bad Utah team, not against Michael Malone, but then jumping on a plane and coming back here for the game tomorrow night. So both teams will be playing back-to-backs. There'll be no advantage. Maybe disadvantage either way. Both teams right now 54-24 tied for the best record in the Western Conference with number one seed at stake.
Yeah, so equal measure, so to speak. Good for them. You obviously got to beat you got to beat Utah. But how excited were you to see Jamal Murray get 21
Huge.
Minutes the other day?
Huge.
I thought that was great.
Huge. Because we know they were resting him, getting him ready for the playoffs. The fact that they deemed him ready to return. We thought that he would need to return with at least two or three games left in the season.
Uh-huh.
And, well, there are four games left in the season.
Right.
So he's a little bit ahead of that timetable. That's good. Meanwhile, panic in the streets yesterday about the Avs and Georgiev?
Yeah, a little
People
bit.
People panicking?
A little bit. A little bit. Obviously, he didn't have Rantanen, but I looked at Dallas, man. The depth that Dallas has, the four-line depth that they have, the fact that there never seemed to be any open ice for the Avs, they do a really good job where the Avs tend to get pinched in on the offensive side and give up some odd man rushes, give up some, you know, some great scoring opportunities to the opponent. I felt like Dallas just made them work for every single thing they got. And that matchup concerns me. Come playoff time, if you get in a series with them, that matchup concerns me. Like we've talked about this with the Western Conference Finals or the Western Conference in basketball a bunch. Is there anybody that you really see they can beat the Nuggets four times? And you and I both agree, no. But that is not true for the Avs.
No. You can't have the same. You just can't. You can't have the same level of confidence for the Avs going into the playoffs like you might have for the Nuggets. You can't.
Agreed.
You can't.
And I was just concerned watching that game. It was on ESPN, so I watched the game and just like, you know, giving up two goals in the last minute 30 or 2 minutes 30 seconds of the first period, having that 1-0 lead, being outshot and just outplayed for the majority of that period, and then giving up two late goals. I was just concerned.
So Georgiev's last three starts, he's given up 4, 6, and 7 goals. Sorry if I'm going to sound like hockey guy, but yes, Georgiev can be better, needs to be better. But to pin all of this on him,
right? Well, Michael Malone
would be
Michael Malone,
foolish.
Bednar came out and said he was great. He said he was great.
All right, a little bit of pumping to the tires there, but
right. He gave up 6. One was empty netter, but gave up 6. But he's like, he was great. It's, you know, it's us not playing defense. It's
he's
us.
Right. He's yeah. right. The Avs have been really, it seems like whenever they lose, if you're looking for a common denominator, at least for me, whenever they lose, a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers, poor positioning, guys left open, guys getting beaten to the front of the net. Things like that. So, yeah, you know, if you want to pin it all on Georgiev, go ahead, but you're losing sight of the bigger picture.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't think he's been great, but anyhow, I do, like, there is something body language-wise after he gives up a goal and he goes to his water jug.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look pissed off enough.
That's because they're goaltenders. They're very sensitive. They've probably
you gotta get angry. No. You gotta get mean.
They have goaltending coaches that are basically, you know, shrinks. They're just
they basically say,
it's
don't,
like you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. Don't show your emotion. Don't let them know that they're getting to you. You gotta let it just, you know, rub it off. Rub it off.
Oh
wow,
rub it off.
That's what she said.
I was going to say brush it off, but yeah. Hey,
no,
rub it off.
Taylor Swift should make a song. Didn't she have a song like that? Shake it off, rub it off. Rub it's it all off. The same
It's
thing.
All the same. Morning Brew, coming your way next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Rockies take out the Diamondbacks 7-5 at Coors Field yesterday. 13 hits for this offense that is still trying to find its rhythm. And speaking of finding a rhythm, Kyle Freeland with a better start. Went 5 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, saw his ERA, which was up around 38 after the first start of the season, has been whittled down to 16. Hey, baby steps, says Bud Black.
very similar to the previous three games. You know, fastball 91 to 93, which is like it's been documented up from last year, from the last couple of years. So the fastball has life to it. Slider's good. Curveball comes into play. The changeup's still a little hot. You know, we still got to continue to work on taking velocity off the change. But they didn't really hit the ball hard, against Kyle.
Well, they won, so it's not that depressing. But
he didn't get the victory, though, right?
He did not get the victory.
He was down when he went out.
But so here's what I heard. I mean, your son's the former big league pitcher. Uh-huh. What I heard is he doesn't throw his fastball fast enough, and he doesn't throw his slow ball slow enough.
Right. It's up a tick.
I'm a baseball savant, everybody.
You know what? I mean, he's got to live in the margins. That's where he has to. If he's going to have success, he's got to be living on the black. You got to be painting the edges of the plate because his stuff isn't good enough to blow dudes away. And his breaking ball and that stuff isn't good enough to really. So he's just got to live. He's got a very thin margin for error, if you will. And if he leaves it in the middle of the plate, it is absolutely going to get, blasted.
Next on the Morning Brew, UConn continues to make the case that they are a college basketball dynasty. They beat Purdue 75-60 to win the NCAA championship for the second year in a row. Coach Dan Hurley will put their run up against anyone.
I can't say anything about Duke because I'm going to piss my brother off. But I guess I could say stuff about Florida. But I love Billy Donovan, so I'm in a bad spot. I just think it's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team.
Yeah, so UConn goes back-to-back for the first time since Florida in 06-07. And before that, Duke with Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner, Coach K, that crew.
It's an amazing run. Absolutely. I mean, just especially in today's landscape, the way college basketball is, although there's a lot more guys with COVID and the COVID years and everything else sticking around for a while, right? But good on them. Good on Connecticut. Normally, I would cheer for Connecticut. I can't believe I didn't pick Connecticut.
With all the time you spent in Bristol. How far is Bristol from stores?
45 minutes.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you were in UConn's backyard all those years.
Yeah.
6 national titles now for UConn. Boy, there was a time way back when that if you'd gone up to somebody and said, the next great college basketball program, you think of UCLA and Indiana and North Carolina, Kansas. If you said, the next great one's going to be Connecticut, people would have looked at you like you had 8 heads.
Yeah.
Like, UConn, Connecticut? What? No way. Well, here they are. 6 championships later. Next on the Morning Brew, the Nuggets begin a crucial back-to-back that probably will decide the number one seed in the Western Conference. They've got Utah tonight on the road, where Michael Malone is 1-14 against the Jazz. Then they come home for the big one tomorrow night against Minnesota. Minnesota, meanwhile, is home tonight against Washington and here in Denver tomorrow. So no advantage, no scheduling advantage. Nobody can cry about, we're on a back-to-back. Yeah. No, both teams are on back-to-backs. We'll be on back-to-backs.
When does the Big Cat get back?
That's a good question.
Do they say he's coming back for the playoffs?
Really?
They do.
Last one I saw yesterday, all signs point to an imminent Karl Anthony Towns return.
What'd you call it?
Imminent. Imminent.
Imminent?
Imminent.
Isn't it imminent?
Imminent. No, imminent.
Imminent?
Imminent.
Imminent.
No, not imminent. Imminent.
Are you sure it's imminent?
I'm pretty positive it's imminent. Rogue?
Imminent?
Imminent. Imminent disaster? Imminent disaster?
Imminent?
M? Wow, I really missed these kind of deep discussions the last couple days. Really missed them.
It just sounded really weird. Maybe it's just because I've been mispronouncing it my whole life.
Timberwolves. Eminent.
Eminent?
Eminent. Imminent. I think it's imminent. All right, let's ask our own personal.
How's it spelled?
Google. Well, it's spelled I-M-M, so that's why I'm going with imminent, because that's the way it's spelled. But yes, Carl Anthony Towns expected to be back before the playoffs.
It's really quick.
All right, here we go. Let's satisfy Mark's. Okay. Look at those sausage fingers. Man, look at you. You make fun of my sausage fingers.
Imminent.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
There you have it.
We're all a little smarter. Finally. Imminent. Finally on this show, we finally did some educating. After just making people dumber.
Text line, we won't need you on this
We won't need you. We got this. Yeah. We got this. Next on the Morning Brew, the Avalanche, meanwhile, are going to be taking on the Minnesota Wild. Are we... now accepting the fact that the Avs are probably locked into that matchup now with Winnipeg in the first round?
With the Jets, yeah. I think that's what it looks like. So that's all right, don't you think?
Still got some work to do to make sure you have home ice in that series. Because Winnipeg is only 2 points behind the Avs with
a bird in the bush.
A bird in the bush, a game in hand.
Shoot. They could usurp them, huh? Take them over?
Yeah, but you know what? Stop me if you've heard this before. I'm starting to get worried about the Kraken. But I think Winnipeg would be a better first-round matchup than having to play Nashville or certainly Vegas if you finished first overall.
All right. I'm down.
How's
with
that for a silver lining?
Yeah. I'm done with that.
Okay.
All right.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Mike Liss, our 9 News Bronco insider. We are coming up T-minus about 2 weeks until the start of the draft. Any new information that Mike has been able to unearth, we'll ask him next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mike Liss is our 9 News Broncos insider. He joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Mike, I had to hesitate before I said Broncos insider, because following you on Twitter, as I love to do over the course of the weekend, while I was sequestered in my house with the wind blowing, ton of baseball tweets from you. You were back on the baseball beat. Buddy Black giving you a shout out after one of the games. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Home opener. I was out there for the home opener and, it was nice to be around the ball players again and all the ball coaches. And, it's a different deal there. You know, you talk to Chris Bryant about all the boos, just the humility that they have. Someone told me that, in baseball, they reach the major leagues through the minor leagues, and nothing humbles you like the minor leagues, you know, and all those 0-for-4s. And in football, you come from Alabama or LSU, the humility isn't quite there. So it was nice being around the baseball guys again. And then last night, guys, the George Mikan attack didn't quite work for Purdue against UConn, did it?
Wow, that's a deep hole.
Wow, yeah,
that's a deep, deep hole.
No,
it did
not. It was ugly and. Anyhow, whatever. So are you saying that maybe the guys over there at Dove Valley don't have the same humility as Bud Black and the Rockies?
You know, I think the Broncos, maybe because every game is so important, you know, 16, 17 games. I think the players deny failure. You know, it's... maybe it's 2 years of Russell Wilson, you know, where you just don't acknowledge failure. You kind of say, look, it's going to be better next time. It's we'll get them next week. It just seems like there's more of a stay positive ingrained in football players compared to baseball who, like I say, they deal with failure every day in that sport.
Visiting with Mike Liss, you also referenced watching the tournament, the championship game last night. Hey, you know, is Greg Penner thinking of building a stadium like this with a retractable roof that could allow Denver to hold a Final Four? Are you just wishing and hoping, or are you got any intel to go on here?
You know, he's thinking about it. I mean, that he's made that clear that he's looking into these things. He hasn't made a decision. I want to say that right out front, that's what he's going to do. You know, I think what was interesting to me in the midst of while he's thinking about whether to build a new one or renovate the current one is, you know, Kansas City, the people of Kansas City, they have the best team in the NFL that's won the Super Bowl 3 of the past 5 years. And dare I say, they're odds on favorites to win 3 of the next 5 Super Bowls too, by the way. And they just flat out would not approve any public funding to help the Chiefs. And if Kansas City, with all that momentum, all that positivity from the fan base, vote down, I think maybe the Broncos realize that it's going to be hard to get public funding for a new stadium here. And yeah, I don't know if. Doesn't sound like Penner or the Waltons will even ask for it. You know, I think that's why if they do go new, PSLs might be the answer there to kind of help construct a new place. But as far as the new stadium, I know they're looking into it. They have been. They've sent out all the surveys last year with fans. You know, do they want a new stadium? Do they want a roof? No roof. They just haven't decided yet whether to go that way. If it does happen, I don't think it'll happen before 2031 when the current lease runs out.
Hey, Mike, obviously, you know, the Broncos getting ready. The draft is in a couple of weeks. You've been reading the tea leaves. You've been talking to the folks. You've been doing all those things. Drake May seems to be sliding a little bit. As the smoke has settled and there's been less to talk about here recently, and they've had all these visits with all these different quarterbacks, every quarterback has come out of that saying the toughest one to prepare for was the Broncos. They put you through the most hoops to jump through, so to speak. So any, from your standpoint, anybody has risen to the top? Anybody you feel like has eliminated themselves? Do you have any inside information on any of that stuff?
No, but I mean... It's the only thing that I'm fairly confident in is that they are going to take a quarterback. I mean, I don't think that's breaking news. Is they got to get a quarterback in the first round here. And, you know, Drake May sliding. I don't know if he's sliding. I know some people are bashing him, you know, and whether that makes him slide or not, I don't know. I still think he'll go number 3 to New England, but if he gets beyond that, then yeah, that'll be interesting for the Vikings and the Broncos and the Raiders to jockey for position. And then you know, you hear the Raiders really like Penix, you hear the Vikings really like McCarthy, and you hear the Broncos really like Bo Nix and McCarthy. So not much has changed, from what the tea leaves have been saying for a couple weeks now.
All right, Mike, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great day. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have fun at the ballpark.
All right. Yeah, you got it, guys. All thanks right. A lot.
There he goes, Mike Kliss. Our 9 News Bronco insider. Rock's looking at me. She's like, I'll do that. Stop trying. Did you get upset when I try to?
So pissed. So pissed off.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Leave it to you.
I'm angry.
Let you do it?
Yeah.
Just leave it.
Leave it to the pros.
I will. I'm sorry. God. Do you know how many important people I've hung up on over the years? I just totally hung up on people. Going back, the list is long. You got your list. I got my list. I don't know. It's the sausage fingers, man.
It is.
They just get
you're
away.
You're on my list now. Yeah.
I'm on your list. Oh, God.
I will not do that ever again.
Yeah.
Leaving the phones.
You don't want to be on SIDS. I am leaving the phones alone. Four down territory coming up next. Is it safe to call UConn a dynasty now? The Rockies get a win. Avalanche and Nugget previews. Why can't Michael Malone win in Utah? It's all coming up next.